Please pray with me. Lord, may the words that are spoken be the words that you need us to hear. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's always different preaching in a new pulpit for the first time in a while, whether you've been there before or not. The feel, the sense of the room is always something that you have to grasp a hold of. I'm glad to be here, though, because this has a sense of home and a sense of a good feel for me. So I want to share with you a little bit about culture. I've always enjoyed the study of cultures and societies, both as a social phenomenon and for personal understanding. My first college degree is in sociology, and as a new graduate student at the University of Arizona a long time ago, I studied sociology with the hope of pursuing a career in sociology as an educator. Part of this path of study led me to explore religion and faith practices as a social phenomena. I looked at what causes churches and denominations to change, what causes them to grow, what causes them to die, what causes movements within religious experience, and I tried to study as best I could what moved religious and spiritual communities. And I have come to a conclusion about religious movements and cultures. They change, and new ones emerge. It kind of falls under the banner of your personal theology should be ever changing and growing and emerging as something new. This means something for us as a Christian community. We have to be willing to see ourselves as evolving and changing when necessary to do so. But in saying this, I want us to be acutely aware that we are not speaking, and I'm not speaking, of change solely for change's sake. We are talking about the type of change and evolution that emerges in response to the call of Jesus upon our lives and in response to the presence of Jesus in our lives. Change is a function of our relationship to God is important. And how that relationship impacts us, that's important. It's not something we do simply for the sake of changing or doing something new. A new culture emerges in our practice of faith when we endeavor to connect and more fully understand who God is to us. Paul speaks about one of the more important aspects of change and new culture in the book of Ephesians that we just read. It is this idea that there is something special that not only drives change in our culture, but unites us as well. In verse 13, Paul mentions that it is in Christ that this community and this culture is created. Whereas this might seem simple and overly obvious, it's way too important to overlook. As Christians, we have to acknowledge that it is Jesus that brings us together. It is Jesus that unites us. It is Jesus that gives our community purpose. In a time when even church seems to be fractured in our culture today, we have to remember that we are together because Christ is present. Any community, any church, any culture that desires to identify itself as Christian has to, by definition, have Jesus at the center. If a new culture or an old culture is one that is not centered in Jesus, then it has to be taken to task as to what it truly is. If we take this idea to its logical conclusion, it means that our task is not to create a new culture. Instead, our task is to listen to how Jesus is speaking to our hearts. As Christians, Jesus is at the center of our hearts, at the center of our churches, at the center of our VBS, and at the center of our communities. It is Jesus that can bridge the gaps that we tend to create as people. It is Jesus that can help us transcend any differences that we might find to be important. And it is the presence of Jesus that allows for newer, healthier cultures of faith to emerge. Paul emphasizes this fact as he explains that the divides that did exist have been bridged by Jesus. This phrase offered by Paul that Jesus broke down the walls and that he ended the hostility highlights the key role that having a Christ-centered approach has in helping new and more helpful cultures emerge. The constant mention of Jesus might seem repetitive and it might seem redundant, but the role of Jesus in the life of the church cannot be overemphasized. In fact, it should be clear that if a church wants to be an effective witness to any society at any time, the church needs to be solidly anchored and completely centered in the person of Jesus. The new culture that can and should in our practice of faith, the new culture that Paul references in his letter to the Ephesians, is about Jesus. And we only need to look at the significant changes that have taken place in the life and the history of any church, any Christian community, to notice that when that change is for the positive, it is a change centered in Jesus. We see again in Paul's letters emphasis on ideas such as reconciliation, unity, peace, and the creation of a church that is in one church, not divided or fractured body. All of these ideas become settled and effective when taken in the context of Jesus as the moving force in the church. You see, this is really important because you may or may not have noticed we have some problems in our country and our culture and our society in the world today, even in the ways that we practice Christianity. And not just here, but everywhere. I offer this thought not as a critic looking disdainfully at the church. We have too much of that. I'm not looking at it just as someone to critique and say how bad we are. We have too much of that. I look at this as a sinner, as one who needs not only to speak these words, but to hear these words, and as one who needs to be part of fixing the way that we, quote, do church. In many ways, the church, or the way that we practice our religion or express our faith, has gotten off track. We have become too enmeshed with politics. We have substituted nationalism in place of Christianity. We have become so sectarian and divided along denominational lines that we have brothers and sisters in Christ that simply will not worship with other brothers and sisters. We have relied on labels and demographics to the point of leaving no room for the true expression of the place of Jesus in our lives. And I know this sounds like a very stark critique, and it's meant to be one. Because we have to usher in our time, in our place, and in our communities, a new culture of church that features the centrality of Jesus and nothing else. And I'm going to offer a word of caution here. This is not a critique of them or the others or the opposing political point of view. This is a critique of anyone, including us, that puts identity, idea, or program, or point of view ahead of Jesus in creating their church culture. This is not a critique of culture or society as if it were a separate entity, because we are the authors of our culture. We are the shapers of society. To critique and condemn society is to critique and condemn ourselves. And this is not meant to point any particular group of people or denomination or segment of the faith community. This is meant to hold all of us accountable for how we practice and express our faith. But I want to offer another caution at this point. The centrality of Jesus in our hearts and in our lives and in our faith communities is not meant to be a source of pride or bragging. It's not meant to be a reason to condemn others. It's meant to be a point of growth and encouragement. Being Christian does not make us better than anybody else. However, it does make us better versions of ourselves. It wants us to live up to the wonderful beauty of our creation. And that's the point at which the new culture begins to emerge. But after these words of caution, I want to offer some good news, something that will hopefully encourage us and head us in the proper direction. If we are the shapers of society, if we are the authors of culture, we can change it. We can bend it to see the centrality of Jesus in our practice of faith. We can make the world a better place, not just for Christians, but for all of God's creation. We can do so because not only can we make the changes, we are empowered to do so with the help of God. In Paul's words, we are given a picture of the impact that communities of believers can have on themselves and on the people around them. Now, all these issues I mentioned earlier, nationalism, political fighting, sectarianism, labeling, all of which damage the work of the church, can be turned around when we seek to be genuinely Christ-centered in our practice of faith. So, as a theorist, this is all nice and wonderful. I think I've put together a reasonable critique of the church. But how do we change our culture? How do we put an end to those things that serve to divide and separate us? How do we change the world? How do we change our little corner of the world? How do we help the new culture emerge? These are key questions, because all too often we suggest what the problems might be, but we don't take time to seek viable solutions for them. As Paul has suggested, we must keep Jesus central in all that we do. There was a craze a few years back, WWJD. What would Jesus do? And actually, that's the most powerful and appropriate question that any church can ask when it begins to create its culture, because it reminds us that Jesus is central to what we do. It reminds us that if we do not live and act emulating Jesus, then we lose the right to call ourselves Christian. If our identity is that we are followers of Christ, then we must be followers of Christ in all that we do, in all that we say. This starts by maintaining a focus on who Jesus is and who Jesus is to us. All the programs in the world and all the great sermons and all the powerful anthems do very little good if they are absent of the understanding of who Jesus is. Whether we are using the New or Old Testament sources, we must always find ways to connect them to our understanding of who God is and how Jesus is revealed. We cannot be a Christian church if we remove Jesus from what we do. We need to be willing to learn who Jesus is. We need to study Scripture, engage in fellowship. We need to be prayerful and meditate. We need to worship together. We need to celebrate together. This is why we need things like VBS together. These are all ways in which Jesus is revealed to us. These are ways in which we serve one another, listen to one another, help one another, and love one another. These are ways in which Jesus is revealed. But this raises some challenge centered on how to do these things. We can preach Jesus and we can teach Jesus, but sometimes it is simply more effective to be like Jesus in words and actions. We are called to be the hands and feet of Jesus to our community. We are called to care for all Jesus' brothers and sisters. We are called to be the incarnational presence of Christ when the people and communities are in need. This is how we start keeping Jesus central in our practice of faith. This is how we help the new culture emerge. In many ways, we're already doing this. Whether it be making our buildings available for community to use or giving away needed items, we need to represent to be Jesus in our community. Whether it be teaching Sunday school or inviting people to church, we need to represent Jesus in our community. Whether it means helping out a neighbor, being kind to a neighbor, checking in on a neighbor, we need to represent Jesus to our community. And we need to remember this story when Jesus spoke of separating the sheep and goats, when he said, "When you do this to the least of my brothers, you do this to me." When we make an impact in our community by the way in which we show love to others, the new culture begins to emerge. We can help change the lives of others, and in doing so, change our own lives as well. But building a new culture is not just about creating new programs. It's not just about sharing ideas. It's not just about being helpful. It's about doing all of these things as an outward expression of how God has touched and continues to touch our lives. Programs are important. People are more important. To help a new culture emerge, we have to be able to express to others the God-given importance that we see in them. We need to see people through the eyes and the heart of God. We need to see people not as their demographics, not as their descriptions, not as their characteristics, not as any of the ways we use to divide people. We need to see them as children of God. To help the new culture emerge, we have to set aside the old culture of division. We can no longer afford to see each other by what separates us. We instead have to see each other first by what unites us. We have to see each other through the lens of God's love. The new culture is not about winning arguments. It's not about proving points. The new culture is about showing others how we love them, not showing others how right we are. It's about showing others how deep and wide the love of God is and how it can change our lives. Today, our culture puts a significant premium on winning. Too often, we approach situations with a zero-sum mentality. Too often, we see interactions with other people as having been determined by identifying who won and who lost. And this behavior permeates Christianity as well. Instead of sharing the gospel of love, we spend way too much time identifying how we're right and others are wrong. We do this with people who are not Christian as well as people who profess Christ as Savior. We engage in triumphalism that holds the gospel of love as less important than proving our worth. Instead of professing Christ as Savior, we are intent on proving ourselves as more holy or more right or more deserving of God's favor and God's love. Instead of telling people that God loves them, we become insistent on proving them that God loves us more. This is not the new culture that needs to emerge. This is the old culture that has been devastating the church since the very beginning. In the scripture, Paul speaks a lot about the central role of Jesus. He talks about being a dwelling place for God. That is our goal. For the new culture to emerge, we have to be part of an expression of God's love. Again, this means looking at others through the eyes and the lens of God's love, not through the lens of our prejudices and preconceived notions. This means we look for ways to connect through God's love, not to separate. This means that we stop trying to find ways that we are right and others are wrong. This means being confessional in our own shortcomings. This means that we seek forgiveness from God and for others, and this means that we forgive more quickly, we condemn more slowly, we love more readily. Before this particular section of Scripture, Paul reminds us of the saving grace of Jesus that stands in contrast to our belief that it's through our own actions that we save ourselves. For new culture to fully emerge and successfully emerge in the practice of our faith and the life of our churches, we have to embrace that idea. We lack the ability to save ourselves through our actions and behaviors. Only Jesus can do that for us. To truly embody this aspect of the new culture, we have to be able to see that in ourselves, and we have to be able to see it in others. To be a new culture, we have to set aside the old culture of personal triumph. We have to set aside the culture that values winning over caring for others. We have to set aside the focuses that devalue other people. We have to be aware of something as we engage in this desire to be a new culture. It does not mean that we cease to strive to be our best. It doesn't mean that we settle for mediocrity and have a laissez-faire approach to our own faith. We still strive to be the best of our creation. We should still strive to be all that we can be. But instead of doing it in opposition to others or in a contest with others, we do so in concert with others. We do so in unison. We do our best to lift us all, not just ourselves. This also does not mean we ignore our sinfulness. It does not mean we see sinfulness as a cause solely for condemnation, but as an opportunity for building, for uplifting, for loving, and for supporting others and allowing others to support us. Instead of hiding our flaws, we live confessionally, seeking to grow together, centered in God's love and God's forgiveness, and that Jesus offers us as we confess. When we worry more about following God's call and less about how we're perceived doing it, then ministry becomes new. The new culture emerges as a force for change in a world that sorely is in need of change. If we desire a new culture to emerge, we have to be intentional about it. We have to live abiding in the idea that God still speaks to us. We have to live acknowledging our sinfulness, then working hard to turn from it. We have to work hard to see and honor the God-given value of others. Jesus preached unity. Jesus preached peace. He constantly made a point of showing the worth and value of the people that others felt were not worth his time or effort. The list is long. The disciples, many thought, were not worth Jesus' effort. Zacchaeus, the woman at the well, the man possessed, the bleeding woman, Mary of Magdalene. Jesus did not just preach in the new culture. He showed us how that new culture should be lived. Jesus was not on his journey for the sake of political correctness or diversity, although these things have value. Jesus was prompting people of faith to see a new culture emerge, a culture where your worth was tied only to God and not to something you had, something you were, or something you did. We can change the world. I believe that. I will never stop saying this. We can make our world better for everyone. I'll not stop saying that either. We can express our faith in such a way that people are seeing the fullness of God's love, God's mercy, God's grace, and God's righteousness. We can keep Jesus at the center of our faith, at the center of our church, and at the center of our lives. So here's the encouragement. Go and be a dwelling place for God. Be joined together in the power of Christ and in the presence of the Spirit. Go and change the world. Help the new and powerful culture of God's love continue to emerge, not only in your heart, but in our church and in our community. The new culture will emerge because Christ is at the center of our lives. Let's pray. Lord, help us to see and be the new culture that you've called us to. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.